The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Daniel chapter 11, and I'm back to something that I started a couple weeks ago. I just want to read this same verse, and then we'll go maybe a different direction. Verse 32 of Daniel 11. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt or pollute by flatteries. So there's people that are going to do bad. Right? But I love this piece here. But, you know, just because some are doing bad doesn't mean everybody's doing bad. But in the midst of a bad culture, in the midst of a corrupted society and a divided nation and a troubled world, in the midst of it, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So there's going to be bad stuff happening around us, that the things may just unravel, but in the midst of that, you can do something different. You don't have to let that affect you and take you down with it. But there's a but in there. But in the midst of it, but the people that know God, and that's our quest. I want to know Him, even as I am known. You know, the Bible says that God knows every single part of us. He knows all about us. There's not a thought or an intent that He doesn't know. There's nothing in your past that He doesn't know. There's nothing in your present that He's not aware of. And there's nothing in your future that'll surprise Him. He knows it all. He knows how many hairs are or aren't on your head. He could tell you, He could calculate how many good old Pastor Crabb used to have. On his best day, how many did he have? He could tell me, he could tell me what I said when I was 3 years old. He could tell me what I thought. He could tell me the times that he dealt. He knows it all. I mean, just it's an all-inclusive thing. God knows all about me. He knows everything. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. He knows everything. But the Bible says, I believe that there are people that on the same wise, you know, I want to know God like He knows me. Wow. Now, maybe that's what eternity's about. Come on. Trying to comprehend the many facets of God. I'm not crazy enough to believe, you know, in 90 or 100 years that I could figure out that I'd know everything there is to know about God like He knows everything there is to know about me. But I want to be in a position. I'm looking for a people that'll be hungry enough, that'll say, my God, I want to go as far as I can in this life. I want to know Him as much as I can know Him. However far I get in my journey in my life, I want to squeeze all there is to understand about Him. I want to know Him, because the Bible says the people who know their God. I don't want to be surprised at the ways of God. I want to know about the power of God. I want to know about the power of God. I want to know what God's done. But I want to know the ways of God too. I want to know how God thinks. He said, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. Well, I want to know His thoughts. I'm tired of thinking my own stupid, low thoughts. I want to think like God. I want to know God. I want to know Him. I don't know how much I can squeeze out in my journey here. But bless God, I want to give it all I can. I want to pray and know more. I want to read the Word and know more. I want to pray in the Spirit and understand more. I want to be around the house of God, and I want to be around the people of God, and I want the fellowship, the different gifts. I want to be around apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers so that I can know all about God, because those people that know God, there's something about them. When you start knowing about God, He said, the people who do know their God shall be strong. The converse there, the other side of that coin is, if you don't know God, you can't be as strong as you could be. You're not going to be strong not knowing God. That's why we have classes. That's why we have teaching. That's why we have seminars. It's why we bring other preachers in. It's why we have devotionals, because we're doing everything we can to know our God. Because in this corrupt time, when people are doing wickedly against the covenant, I want to tell you, I want to tell you right now, you know it and I know it. You better be strong today. This is not a time to be weak. It's not a time to be spiritually bogged down and weak and where you can't move. It's time to move mountains and be strong and take down Goliaths and fight devils and change cities and reach the world. We're going against such a culture. We've got to know God, and it's a time to be strong. Shout out loud, it's time for me to be strong. It's time for me to be strong. It really is. It's time for every mom to be a strong mom, every dad to be a strong dad, every pastor to be a strong pastor, every leader to be a strong leader. The people that know God, once you begin to comprehend and understand the more of His ways and thoughts, and I know about Him and what He's done, what He thinks, what He's going to do as He's revealed it to us in His Word, there's strength that comes off the pages of that book, and the anointing, you know, 2 Corinthians says, when Moses was coming down the mountain, remember that one? Moses was coming down the mountain, he put a veil over his face because he'd been up there in the presence of God. He everybody else is down here playing, building a golden cow. Huh? But somebody, one man, God's man, said, I want to know God. I want to get to know God. I want to go up and spend time with God. Now you guys stay down here and do church. I'll have glory on me when I get back, and I'll share that glory with you. Moses, the man of God that wants to know God, climbs up that mountain and gets up there in the presence of God and does his best in the book of Exodus to describe what he saw. And he uses the biggest and baddest words we got. Like, you know, he just tries to use all these adjectives to describe what he saw. I think at its best, it's far. It lacks. It's the best that humans got. It's the best we can describe. You know, how do you come back and say, I saw God? That'd be like me trying to tell you what it's like to be in love with Sarah. I don't know how to describe that. I don't know how to describe what I just saw, but Moses did that. And so Moses is up there, and instead of the people down here trying to get ready to get strong, the people, and it reminds me of, if we don't watch out, it reminds me of this entertainment-centered culture that we're in. Where if it's not an experience and fun and all the dynamics of things that are tantalizing, and you know, if it was, and you know how it is, it's like doing drugs. However many I did today, I got to do more tomorrow to feel the same thing today. That happens in this culture, even spiritually. We get tantalized by the outward stuff or big or whatever it is, the flash or whatever. And we get moved by it. Well, in order to keep moving you, if that's what moves you instead of knowing God, then you got to have that this week. Then you got to have more of that. Something else. So man gets in it, and we start creating ways to tantalize people to keep them coming to church and have some interest in God. I say there are people that say, oh my God, I want to know God. I want to be one of God's people. I'll pay whatever price there is to know Him. I'll crawl through I'll go down to the lowest depths and I'll climb the highest mountain. If I can get to know God, I'll do it. I'll pay whatever price I got to pay. I will stay as long as I got to stay. But I want to know God. And the reason I want to know God is because in my lifetime, I want to be strong. The people that know God shall be strong. How strong are they, Pastor? Well, those strong people will do these things called exploits. I love that word, exploits. I told you a couple weeks ago. An exploit, it means a striking or a notable deed. A striking deed. A notable deed. That's what I want to do. I don't want to do deeds. I want to do a striking deed. I want to get people's attention to give glory to God. A striking or a notable deed. An exploit is a feat, F-E-A-T. It's like something accomplished that's considered a feat. It's like this big thing. That's what we want to do. And finally, I wrote down that an exploit, it means a heroic act. I really strongly am stirred in my heart about this. I believe God's wondering where all the heroes have gone. For my money, I'll tell you what, I love reading about heroes. On my bookshelf, I've got some volumes by one of my favorite historians, Daniel Borstein. And he's got these volumes that I found him when I was at the University of Louisville and, you know, studying history. And I found this guy, and he had these volumes put together, and they're in different titles. One of them is called The Creators, and it's a whole big volume about people, men in history, that literally were a creative force of something. It might be archaic. It may have been something way thousands of years ago that was in its beginning stages, but somebody got it created. And there's this volume about the creators. There's a volume about the discoverers. Those that went and discovered things, that uncovered things. Brother Copeland's a couple weeks ago, he said something that really stirred my heart. He said, man could have flown in the year 1100, but didn't know how. Because you know what that was? It wasn't like some new law, a force went into motion. The laws of lift were always there. That's what makes an airplane fly. That would have worked in 1100 if somebody would have discovered it. But it took somebody to discover it. It took somebody with courage to do an exploit, to do a feat, to go first. Somebody to take a risk. And I'm going to tell you, man, I don't think God's done making heroes. I don't want to be a hero because I want a pat on the back. That and $3 will get you a black eye coffee like I get it at the coffee shop. A coffee with 2 shots. Not for that. But I want to be a hero because I want to accomplish something. I want that dash between when I was born and the day I die, I want that to mean something. I want to accomplish a feat. I want to do a heroic deed. And listen, here's the cool part. I don't want any of the credit. I know all I want to do is I want to be a point the way guy. I want to point the way. Those that know God will be strong, and they will do exploits. Well, just real quickly, I want to give you just a nugget of thought about what's it going to take to do exploits? I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 18 real quick. You'll know this verse as well. Proverbs 18. Hallelujah. You know, God, and I don't think, I really don't. I've never believed this. I don't think heroes are all, in other words, I don't think God picks one person to be a hero and the person next to him not to be a hero. I think everybody can be a hero. I think everybody can do exploits. I really do. I believe everybody's called to do exploits. I believe, seriously, that's what's the matter with our life. You know what? Most of the time, what's the matter with you? You're just downright bored. You're called, you're made to be a hero. You're made to do heroic feats. Listen, I'll go beyond that. You're called to do something special. You're called to do something notable. You're called by God to make a change in this earth that cannot be reversed. That's the will of God. And Proverbs chapter 18. Let's look at just one verse here. Verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The spirit of a man will sustain his weakness or his infirmity or an affliction, but a wounded spirit who can bear? I believe in order to do exploits today, we are going to have to get whatever's wrong with our spiritual man fixed. The spirit of man is the very thing that moves. We live not out of our brain. We don't live out of our body. We live out of our spirit. And the Bible says the spirit of a man, his heart, who he is at his core. This is true for a man or a woman. It's true 100% of the time. You were made, no matter what's going on around you or even to you, we were made for our spiritual man to be so strong. Daniel 11:32. We were made to know God, be strong, and no matter what's going on around us, even if it's a difficult situation, we were made by God for our spiritual man to sustain us through the fire and the storm. God's men in the Bible, they were strong not just outwardly, but glory to God, they were strong on the inside. Their spiritual man sustained many an infirmity. Your spiritual man, when you're a born-again Christian and you know Christ, man, we talk about that like it's just, you know, some, well, then this happened and then that happened and turn the page. No, listen, when a man is born again and gets a new heart, we get a new spirit. It is not, when we get a new spirit, it's not some weak, emaciated spirit. It is the spirit of Christ. It's the spirit of God. It's born of the DNA of God. The Bible says that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. It's God's will for you to be strong. But in order to be strong, you got to get your spiritual man strong. You got to feed your inner man. You got to care for your inner man. You got to care for your spirit. You got to guard your heart with all diligence and make sure nothing gets in there that can weaken your spiritual man. Hallelujah. Because we're in a vile old world. There's filth coming at you from every side. But I like this, man. My spirit, what I've already got, my spirit, my born again spirit in the Holy Ghost, my spirit will sustain me. My spirit will, we'll do what? I think I wrote down some words for the word sustain here. My spirit will hold me up. It'll sustain me, won't it? My spirit will keep me strong and supported. I got it here somewhere. My spirit will sustain me. Now listen, I'm not really talking now about like the anointing coming on you. Your born again human spirit will sustain you, will keep you marching through life. Look at the Apostle Paul, what he said he went through. He was stoned. He was threatened. He was robbed. He was beaten. And he counts all the time. They beat him one time with rods. They stripped him. They cursed him. They chased him. Every boat he got on, a storm would come and blow the thing apart. He'd end up out in the sea. But the spirit that was inside the Apostle Paul, it sustained him and he stayed upright. No matter what his infirmity was, no matter what his weakness was, his spirit could sustain him as long as his spirit itself didn't get wounded and get weak. You know, when we lose you, we start losing people when their inside man starts getting weak. When their inside man gets a wound, a hurt, a pain, goes through such difficulty that strength goes out of them. Huh? Paul was able to stand there in the midst of all that infirmity. And Paul said, my spirit that God has given me will sustain me and keep me standing upright. I am not going to go down. I'm going to go over. The spirit of a man will sustain him. That's why you have to pay attention to your spirit, to feed your spirit, care for your spirit, love your spirit, pray in the Holy Spirit. For me, I think it's crazy what's happening in this spiritual culture where we're taking away the very things out of the church that feed the spirit of a man. The spirit of God just trying to feed on the inside of us to make sure our spiritual man stays strong. We don't need less of that, brother. We need more and more and more of that, don't we? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. I want you to remember that tonight. My spirit will sustain me through everything that I'm going through and that I've ever gone through. Let's look at one more scripture here. Let's look at the book of Numbers, chapter 14. The spirit of a man. I guess the question is, what kind of spirit you got tonight? What kind of spirit do we have? Do we have enough spirit in us to do exploits? Do I have enough spirit in me? Enough of my spirit. By the power, empowered by the Holy Spirit, of course. But do I have enough spirit to sustain me? This is, look at verse 21 of Numbers 14. This is the spies, the 12 spies. The Lord said, there's a whole lot in this, but as truly as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. How many believe that? Yeah. I say that all the time, don't you? I confess that. Lord, you said the whole earth is going to be filled with your glory. The whole earth is going to be flooded with your glory. The best times aren't in the past. The whole earth is going to be filled with your glory. I don't care how bad it is, what's going on around us, how dark it is, how evil it is. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. And God said, as truly as I live, the whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. Because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt in the wilderness, but they've tempted me, now these 10 times and haven't listened to my voice. You know what he said? These 10 men that wouldn't believe what God said when they went in and spied out the promised land.
Yeah.
You know what we do every Sunday? We get in our Bible and open it up. We just spy out the land. We're the spies. We spy out the land. We see what's in there. Man, we never been in there before. Let's see what's in there. What's over in this chapter? What's over in this book? What did so-and-so do? Let's dig around in there and find out what he did. Let's spy this out. That's why Moses sent those spies in. You know why he sent them in there? To show them how many good things were waiting for them. If they were strong and they could know God, that they could do some exploits and they could have some powerful things happen. That's why we're having church. Because I'm trying to tell you, something big can happen in Cincinnati and something big can happen in your world and in your life. Yes. Yes, it can. And we just sneak around through the scriptures, spying out what's in there. Seeing how big the grapes are in there. Brother, I'm not a guy. Listen, I don't need a whole bunch of evidence. Just show me one grape that's big enough. You got to carry it on a pole. Two guys carrying a pole, and I'm a buyer. I am an investor in the plan. That's all I need. I got what I came for. I'm going home, and I'm going to tell everybody, let's pack up tonight, and let's get in the promised land. That's what I've been trying to tell people for 35 years when I preach. What are we waiting for? There are grapes that you can't carry. There is salvation that we know not of. There is a glory that we haven't manifested and seen yet. You show me grapes that big, how do I know that the guy that made those big grapes, he may have some super grapes on steroids back in there somewhere. When I got saved, I saw the glory of God. I saw His power. I saw Him work through people and do exploits and do some supernatural things. I saw God part things that couldn't get across. I saw God blow down mountains that were standing in the pathway. He said, as truly as I live, I'm going to show you my glory. These men, look at verse 22, I showed some of my glory to these men. And they still didn't believe me. They haven't listened to my voice. Surely, they will not see the land which I swear to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. It's not going to happen. I don't want to be in that group. I'm in the exploit crowd. I'm in the exploit crowd. I'm in the heroic act crowd. I'm into the doing feats crowd. I'm into the world-changing crowd. I'm into the road less traveled crowd. They won't see it, verse 23 says. I like this now. But they won't. But they aren't the ones I'm concerned about. They're not going to see it. But they might not see it. Maybe it hasn't ever been seen. But I'll tell you this. But my servant, this is what God said. But my servant Caleb, here's why. Because he had another spirit. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Apparently, you can have a strong spirit. You can have a medium strong spirit. Or you can have a holy, what the word says, he's got another spirit. He's got a spirit that'll sustain him through everything. I want to prophesy right now that Jim Crabb, I'm going to make it. I'm getting to the promised land. Whatever there is at the end of this whole thing, I'm going to heaven. Between now and then, I don't need to see the grapes anymore. That's not what my life is about now. I've seen the grapes. We've seen the miracles of the past. It's not time to call for grapes. It's time to call for the children of Israel and the people of God. Let's go in and obtain what's waiting in there. We're not looking for proof, so we'll stand up and move a little bit. God's already shown us so many things. Man, I'm going in. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit. Say another spirit. Another spirit. Those people, really, at that church, they're all different. Glory! I don't want to be different because I scream, yell, talk loud, fast. I want to be different because it can be said of me, there's something about my pastor. He's got another spirit on the inside of him. That's who, listen, if I was this world, respectfully, and I say this, you know, I don't toot my own horn. I'm just telling you. If you don't come to me, well, find somebody. I wouldn't go to a church where the pastor didn't have another spirit. I want a wild pastor. I want a pastor that's trying to break a sound barrier somewhere. I want a pastor that's trying to accomplish something that looks impossible. I don't want a pastor that'll give me a bunch of goals that are easily obtainable by the weakest person in the church. I want a pastor that'll give me an unattainable goal by even the strongest man or woman in the church. I want them to nearly pass out at what the pastor says we can do for God. I want to have another spirit. But Caleb, see, that's what sustained Caleb. And you know, in another place in the book of Joshua, it says Caleb, when he was 85 years old, he said, Lord, that man whose spirit wasn't weak, his spirit was strong. That man said, Lord, that mountain right there, I took mountains when I was young, and I want that mountain now, no matter how old I am. Because God told him. He said, and I like it because the writer of this book, it's the Holy Spirit speaking. That wasn't Caleb that said that about himself. Moses saw it. Others saw it. God saw it and said about him, my servant Caleb, because he's got another spirit within him. I'll tell you what, if I had a word for the church today, in 2017, it's time to we gotta buckle up. We gotta suck it in. We gotta get tougher. We gotta get stronger. It's not a time to get weaker. It's not a time to be less committed. It's time to be sold out to give our life to the gospel. It's time to help other people. It's time to spend every dime we can get our hands on going to help people around the world, because somebody's got to have another spirit. I said, you know, Caleb, he had another spirit in him and have followed me fully. I don't believe you can follow him fully until you get another spirit on the inside of you, because there'll be so many afflictions and things that come against your life trying to break your will. And really, you know, it's what we talk about. When you break that spirit, that's how you, I don't know much about horse stuff, but that's how you break a horse, man. You gotta let that horse know, this guy here is gonna win. I'm gonna beat you. So stop acting like this. We gotta be people of another spirit. You think Daniel had another spirit? The Bible says about Daniel, I love this. It said Daniel had an excellent spirit. That's a different spirit. That's another spirit. It said Daniel was like, he got promoted. Daniel, he had so much favor because there was another spirit in Daniel. They tried to shut him up by throwing him in a lion's den. It didn't. I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had another spirit. Don't you? I mean, you got to be kidding me. I'm a pastor of a church in 2017. I don't even want to look, but can you imagine in 2017 the way, as weak as most people are today, spiritually, their spiritual inner man? And can you imagine being threatened, we're going to throw you and your family in a fiery furnace? What most people would do? I mean, brother, it'd be over. They'd be compromised. They'd be, well, can't we talk about it? Are you kidding me? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I don't want to talk about it because I'm not doing that. I'm not going to bow down and pray to anything else. I'm not doing it. We're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. You better have another spirit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we don't care. Threw them in there. They didn't burn. Then the king gets the great idea. Turn it up 7 times hotter. Like, I'm like, brother, these guys are standing in fire and they're dancing around. Turning it hotter is not all of a sudden going to make them melt. And the hotter that fire got, the more they danced. And I think Jesus was so moved that he got in there with them. I'm telling you, Jesus will come down and he'll dance with heroes, with people that say, I want to do exploits. I want an exploit. I'm going to do an exploit. I'm going to the promised land, maybe of Noah. I'm going to build a boat and I'm going to save the world. You crazy old man, who do you think you are? I am God's man and I've got a different spirit in me. I don't care if anybody else gets on this boat or not. I'm building it because God told me to. I say it's time for the church to wake up out of her slumber and the Holy Spirit to move upon the church and stir our hearts and us finally get some purpose in our lives. Come on. I want to, come on, look at me, man. You're too late for me because, you know, trying to tell me, man, that what life is about is having a cool job. You know how many people I've pastored through years that had a cool job and got a call one day that the company was going broke or that they were being laid off or the stock plummeted to absolutely nothing? You know how many cool jobs, good jobs that people have traded their life for 8 to 5 or 6 to 5, 6 to 10, they've given their life 5, 6, sometimes 7 days a week to a company for 30 and 40 years, and at the end of it all, they give you a watch. I want to find something that's meaningful in this life. And I want to be a part of something great. I want to tell you right now, those of you that are here at Imago Day, I want to challenge you. I'm telling you, you want to be part of something great. You need a nap because we're getting ready to do some big things. I mean it, man. I'm tired of low living. I'm tired of mediocrity. I'm tired of not having the kind of spirit that we can have. I'm calling for an all-out revolution. I'm calling for a revival. I'm calling for a move of God. I'm calling for God to stir your hearts where you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire and where you're like Caleb and you got another spirit in you. That is the will of God for people today. And here's the good news. Our spirit will keep us upright. We're not going to go under. We're going to make it, man. Our spirits will sustain us. But a weak, hurt, wounded spirit, your life can't bear that. I thank God tonight that we have a God that can help us do exploits. Let's stand up tonight. Praise His holy name. Let's put our hands toward heaven. Let's begin to give Him some glory out loud. Let's thank Him tonight. Oh, man. Lord, my heart is stirred within me. My heart is stirred within me tonight. I'm looking for God to stir your heart tonight. We are not status quo. There is another spirit within us. We're gonna say no holds barred. We're going farther down the road. We're going into our future. We're going into our destiny. And I want to tell everybody that's listening to me tonight, I want to tell you that we need you. I need you in some way. With the revival that I'm believing God for, I'm telling you, we need every person. We need you times 200, because we're going somewhere where we're going to be in revival on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're going in the morning. We're going to have church at night. We're going to praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the afternoon. We're going to give. We're going to send missionaries. We're going to send money. We're going to raise money. We're going to plant churches. We're going to help broken people. We're going to build hospitals. We're going to send doctors. We are going to send teams. We're going to send medical people. We're going to send nurses. And we're going to send builders. We're going to send people. We're going to send them all over the world. We're going to do big things for God. In the name of Jesus.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.